Now you have in chapter 66 a panorama here of prophecy. And you can write over this, thy kingdom has come. Today the prayer is, thy kingdom come. Here it has come. And we have here the Lord designated as a creator, a ruler, a redeemer, a judge, a regenerator, and a rewarder. And that's in the first 13 verses. And then the Lord decides the destiny of both the saved and the lost. And here we see the kingdom passing before our eyes. And you get two glimpses of eternity, those that are saved and those that are lost. And don't forget, both are real. Now we have here verse 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. This little earth that you and I live on, it's not very important. It's just a footstool for God. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? In other words, this whole earth could just be a footstool for God. In any temple down here on this earth, it couldn't contain him. Solomon recognized that. And Solomon in his prayer dedication of the first temple said, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I built. And so the eternal character of the kingdom seems to me to be the very presence of God. And you won't need a temple there. I think that the New Jerusalem will be a place where the people on earth are going to come up and worship. They're going to come up and visit. And now, the marvelous thing, the God of creation, the God who's high and holy and lifted up, as we've seen in this book, notice what he says in verse 2. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. God, who created this vast universe, he is above it and beyond it. Nevertheless, he condescends to dwell with the humble and the contrite of heart. And the poor, oh, what condescension on the part of God. And this is the day when the meek shall inherit the earth. And in fact, they're going to inherit all things. And then he says, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. That's verse 3. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. And apparently the sacrificial system will be dispensed with after the millennium. To offer an ox without the spiritual comprehension was the same as murder. In other words, everything in eternity must point to Christ or to that which was once pointed to him, and you perform it instead of looking to Christ, that becomes sin. And that's the reason I think that today to bring a sacrifice is sinful. You tread underfoot the blood of Christ. You just say he hasn't come. Then you move down here. In verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. In other words, God will make the distinction between the true and the false, that which is real, that which is not. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. He had separate them. That time has come. The Pharisee who was meticulous in his religious practice will be cast out. The publican who stood afar off and repented will be received. Now you have a voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. You see, God will finally deal with the enemies of Israel that were his enemies. Now here's a remarkable verse. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Now, the great tribulation was a time of travail. And Israel went through the great tribulation after Christ was born in Bethlehem. Already been 1,900 years. That's unusual. Now, we have here And verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith the Lord? God will see that all that he has promised is accomplished. And that little group of 144,000 sealed at the beginning of the great tribulation, they're going to come through it. Not 143,999, but every last one of them will be there. How wonderful. And then he can say, rejoice ye with Jerusalem. What a time of blessing it will be. I'm going to drop down now to this last section here. In this last section, we have the Lord decides the destiny of both the saved and the lost. And in verse 18, for I know their works, their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongue, and they shall come and see my glory. The Lord Jesus mentioned that. In Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. That's going to be a time when a great company of Gentiles are going to be saved, as well as Israel. The nations are going to come and worship in Jerusalem, as we're told here, the holy mountain Jerusalem. And now he says here, verse 22, for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. God's purposes and promises for Israel are as eternal as the new heavens and the new earth. And verse 23, it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. In other words, the redeemed of all ages will worship God throughout eternity. This is the engaging and most important business of eternity. But notice, there's also a group that were not saved. Verse 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. In other words, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked, either now or in eternity. That's going to be their condition. Hell is eternal. You can picture it any way you want to, my friend, but it's going to be a place where there'll be no peace, no rest, no contentment, no God. And the book of Isaiah closes with this thrice repeated warning to the human race. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Next time we are going to go to the New Testament, to 1 Thessalonians. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.